Well, we're continuing our series, our study on the book of Acts, but it's our second series, Kingdom Secrets of the Apostles. And I'd plan to move on to chapter 10 this week, trying to get through this book. And the Holy Spirit really just put me on pause, and he said, I need you to finish out chapter 9. And so as I look back, the Lord just said, look at the effectiveness of Peter's ministry. How many of you want to have an effect and impact on other people's lives? James said, the effective prayers of a righteous man availeth much. He wants us to be effective, amen? He wants our prayers to be effective. He wants our life to be effective. He wants our influence to be effective. We don't want to be ineffective, amen? We don't want to be an ineffective church. We want to be an effective body that's reaching this community and this region and this nation and this world for Jesus Christ, amen? We're going to look at the end of chapter 9, verses 32. We're going to finish it all the way out. We're going to start with chapter 9, verses 32 to 35. It says, now it came to pass, as Peter went through all the parts of the country, that he also came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydda, where he found a certain man. Everyone say, a certain man. Underline that or highlight that on your Bible apps. He found a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. Verse 34, and Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed. Then he arose immediately. Everyone say immediately. We see a lot of suddenlies and immediatelys in the book of Acts. And how many know God wants to work suddenly and immediately in our lives as well through the power of the Holy Spirit? 8 years, Aeneas has been paralyzed and bedridden. The Bible says Peter found him. And how many know after Peter found him, he freed him? I want to share with you the first secret that the Lord showed me in this is that the first secret is certain people in our lives, certain people that God brings us to are waiting to be found. How many thankful that somebody found you? How many thankful that Jesus found you? Come on, you were searching. You were hungry for truth, and somebody found you. Somebody brought you to church. Somebody, listen, somebody helped you out. Somebody prayed for you. They found you when no one else could find you. It says, now it came to pass as Peter went through all parts of the country that he also came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydda, and there he found a certain man named Aeneas. You see, Peter found Aeneas, it's in your notes there, as he went, not as he waited. As he went, not as he waited. You see, so many of us are waiting for God to bring certain people to us. And I believe God wants to use you and I. I believe he wants you to know as we go, he'll bring us to certain people. Listen, so many of us are waiting, listen, for our loved ones or for our friends or for our coworkers to come to church, to come to this church event, to come to that church event. But listen, how many know Peter went? He didn't wait. It was as he went. I don't want to be a church that waits. I want to be a church that finds. I want to be a church that shakes the bushes. I want to be the church that goes and finds the person in the ditch. I want to go and find the certain people, come on, the certain families, listen, that need a Savior, that need Jesus Christ to come and do a restorative work in their lives. You see, we have to shift. We have to have a shift in our mindset. In our church alone, last year, the word that we stood on was God was shifting us from an audience to a body. And we're seeing that more people are getting involved. More people are getting engaged. We're growing and we're seeing people get set free. We're seeing people come to know the Lord. But we have to shift our mindset from a come and join us mentality to go and tell all the world. We have to step into the Great Commission and dare to trust Jesus in it. My friend Corey, he recently got a job with Volunteers of America working with the homeless population. And what he does is he finds homeless folks that have a desire or are willing to get in their program. They're in they want to get off the streets and they want to start rebuilding their lives. And so he'll go everywhere. He'll go to transitional shelters. He'll go on the streets and he'll just try to introduce this program. And what it is, when they enter the program, he goes out and finds companies that'll be willing to take a risk on those folks that are in transition, and they'll Volunteers of America pays the company 6 months for that person's salary. How many know that's a cool thing? He said something that stuck with me. He said, Dean, he said, my eyes have been open as I go to different people. He said, not everyone wants my help. Have you ever ran into somebody like that, right? He said, not everybody wants my help, but I have to find the certain people that do want my help. There are certain people, listen, God's not gonna bring them to us. No, he's bringing you to them. And we need to leave. When we leave, look, when we go out these doors, and you've heard that old thing, there's some churches that I've been on staff at that have that over the door. Welcome to your mission. You're now entering the mission field. But we have to go with that mentality. As we go, listen, God is going to bring us to certain people, certain men, certain women, certain influencers. Why? Because he wants them to encounter the Jesus in you. Let's ask God to bring us to the certain people. Everybody say certain people. Not everybody, right? Not everybody. Sometimes I think we make our menu too big. God, I just want to win the world. And God is asking us to win our neighbor. Just certain people. Not everyone. Just certain people that God brings us to. It leads me to secret number two. And I want you to insert your name in this. And it would go something like this. Dean, Jesus the Christ heals you. Can you say it, putting your name in there? You guys sound like you're speaking in mumbo jumbo. Okay, let's say it loud. It's gonna sound like that. Put your name in there and Jesus the Christ heals you. Verse 34, it says, and Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you, arise and make your bed. Then he arose immediately. The King James Version says it this way. It says, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Notice Peter didn't pray for Aeneas. He didn't pray for his healing. He told Aeneas Christ was already healing him. He didn't say, God will make thee. No, he didn't. He said, God is making thee whole. That's what the word healing there means. It means wholeness. It means cure. It means to be free from errors and sin, to bring about one's salvation. The Matthew Henry's commentary says it this way. I love it. It says, Peter does not express himself by way of prayer to Christ that he would make him whole, but as one having authority in Christ and knowing the mind of Christ, he declares him made whole. In 2003, my dad was diagnosed with esophageal cancer. If you know anything about esophageal cancer, you don't want that diagnosis. People don't survive from it after they're diagnosed, maybe a year, maybe a couple of years. But our first diagnosis, when they found the tumor in my dad's esophagus, we went to the doctors and at the local hospital that we were going. And we went there, they brought us into the room, and they projected a pretty grim outcome. These doctors were actually new at this surgery, so we didn't have a lot of confidence to begin with. But then they said, we can perform this surgery, but most likely it's only gonna extend your life 3 to 5 years. So my sister, who is here, she fought with the insurance company, and my sister's connected, and she knew somebody in New York that knew a doctor on the West Coast that actually was the best physician when it came to esophageal cancer. And so miraculously, we got an appointment with, I'll never forget his name, Dr. West. Dr. West was the best, yes. Dr. West was the best. And after he reviewed all of my dad's tests and all those things, he brought us in the room just like the other doctors did. And he looked at us and he looked at my dad and he said these words. Again, he was this doctor, he actually trained physicians in these surgical procedures. And so when we went in the room, we didn't know what he was gonna say to us. He looks my dad straight in the eye and he says, "Sal, I can heal you." Now we know God uses physicians to heal us, amen? He can use physicians to heal us. But you know, I thought about this story because I believe God wants us to have the same confidence and authority in Christ that the doctor had in his medical degree, amen? And his profession and his expertise. Christ wants us to have the same confidence, not God can, but no, God is healing you. No, God is restoring you. No, God is setting you free. No, God is saving you. Not will save you, no, he is saving you. And that's why I want to declare over you today, be healed, be made whole, be cured, be free from your errors. How many of you ever made a mistake? You're allowing your mistakes to beat you up. You sinned. How many know sin is just missing the mark? But how many know Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins? Be free from your error. Be free from your sins this morning. Because he's already working. He's already moving. He's already doing it right now. As I preach the word, listen, we don't have to wait to the end of the altar call for the Holy Spirit to minister to you right where you're at. He knows what you came in with. And I believe Christ is healing now. He's making you whole now. He's curing you now. It made me think that sometimes we are already praying for what God is already doing. It didn't say Peter prayed for him. He said, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ is healing you." Amen? You see, we just have to give people access to the hope we have, the promises we have, the power that we have. It doesn't matter how long it's been or how long you've been lost or off the radar. It doesn't matter how long you've been stuck in life. Maybe you're like this paralytic, stuck on the mat for 8 years. Maybe you felt like you've been knocked down and can't get out of your mess. Maybe it feels like you've been in the same spot for years. And there could be many reasons for that. Maybe you're paralyzed because of fear. You're in the same spot you were last year, or maybe 5 years ago, or maybe even 10 years. Maybe you're paralyzed because of fear. Maybe you've experienced trauma that has caused a repetitive cycle in your life. Maybe you've had some health issues that have set you back. Maybe you suffered tremendous loss, and all these things are painful and real. But I want to declare to this house today that Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed. You don't have to stay stuck in the place where you've been stuck. You can make the decision this morning to say, "I'm going to arise." You may have been on the mat, listen, for the last 8 years, but now how many know the next 8 can be your greatest years? It can be your greatest life, but you have to make a decision. I'm going to arise. You say, "Pastor Dean, I can't get up by myself." Well, that's why the community that is here in this church is here to lift you up. Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed. Looking at Acts chapter 9, verses 36 to 43, it's the next miracle that we see in Peter's ministry. It says, "At Joppa, there was a certain disciple." Everybody say certain. Again, Peter's on his way. It's in that he finds a certain person. He wants to do the same thing in our life. "At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha," which is translated Dorcas. I prefer Tabitha anyway. "This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Since Lydda was near Joppa and the disciples heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. Then he had come. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him, weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive, and it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. So it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon, a tanner, a verse we'll talk about next week. It leads me to secret number three. And you could put your name in here again, but Jesus restores you. Jesus restores you. A woman disciple named Tabitha, her name meant gazelle. Any of you have seen National Geographic magazine, right? And you see the herd of gazelles. They're just prancing in the meadows or wherever they're at, right? And they're fast and they jump pretty high. They're everywhere. They kind of spring here, they spring there, they spring there. This was Tabitha right here. And we can assume by Tabitha's name that she was very influential in the lives of those in her community. Because everywhere you turn, there she was like a gazelle, right? She was ready to go. She was ready to work. Her life was full. And so she was everywhere you looked. How you know we need more people like that, right? When we are introduced to her, we're told that she's full of good works and charitable deeds. And like a gazelle, Tabitha was swift and quick to answer the call on any assignment God would give her. And because of that influence and impact on the people, her influence was widespread. She was a woman inspired, who inspired everyone around her and who everyone aspired to become more like. Do you guys know someone like that? This was Tabitha. We don't know what happens to Tabitha or Dorcas, whatever name you prefer. We don't know what happens to her, but she becomes sick and she suddenly dies. It takes the community by surprise. It shocks the entire community. I'm sure they were asking, how could this happen to someone so graceful, who is bouncing around like a gazelle, who's full of energy, who is full of life, doing great things for God and good things for people, and suddenly she's gone. She's taken from us. Most of us has experienced the pain of an unexpected loss of someone we love. Just prayed for a young lady who came down who just lost her father. We all know what that pain feels like. Her community, though, was not in denial. They began to prepare her body. They washed her body, but they didn't anoint it, which was a practice in biblical times. They washed it, and they laid her in the upper room. And they hear that the Apostle Peter is in close proximity. Verse 38, they sent two men to him, talking about Peter, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. In your notes there, the word implore means making a desperate appeal. Can I just take a time out for just a moment? I just want to say, if there's something that ever happens to me that I'm not in a position to help myself, or I'm in a place where I can't do anything for myself, can I just say to you, I just hope there is a community that will make one last desperate plea. Just one last desperate plea. You say, well, Pastor Dean, what if he doesn't heal you or restore you or whatever's going on in your life? What if God doesn't come through? Do me a favor. Make just one last desperate appeal on my behalf. That's why community is so important in our lives. That's why we can't isolate ourselves, listen, from other believers. Yeah, you can think you can do it by yourself. You can pull yourselves up by the bootstraps. But no, no, no. When you're going through hell or high water, you need a community, come on, that will cry out desperately for you. You see, that leads me to the point there. Your community has everything to do with your destiny. Your community has everything to do with your destiny. Who are those that God has surrounded you with strategically? Might be the person that's sitting right next to you right now that you've never met. How many know God can make a divine appointment even in the building right now? Peter shows up. If this scenario sounds familiar, because the same thing happened in Jesus' ministry. Jesus was asked by a desperate father named Jairus to come to his house and heal his daughter. And guess who was with him? Any guesses? Peter. Peter is with them in Luke chapter 8. It says, but when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well. When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, come on, James, and John. And the father and mother of this, how many know Jesus is a good teacher? Hands-on experience right here. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, do not weep, she's not dead, but sleeping, and they ridiculed him. How many know sometimes you have to do the ridiculous in order to see the miraculous? Oh yeah. Verse 54, but he put them all outside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, little girl, arise. Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately, and he commanded that she be given something to eat. Verse 56, and her parents were astonished, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. Try to figure that one out, right? It leads me to secret number four. If God's done it once, he can do it again. Peter follows Jesus' method, then he arrives, and everyone is mourning and grieving, and rightly so. We need to learn how to mourn. We need to learn how to grieve. It's okay, right? It's okay when you're going through it. It's okay. But what Jesus did with Peter, this is what I want you to get. What Jesus did with Peter, now he does through Peter. You see, in your notes there, what God does with you, he can also do through you. What God does with you, he can also do through you. That's why our testimonies are so important. Listen, so many people, they experience breakthrough. They experience miracles. They experience God doing something on their behalf, and we remain quiet about it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And listen, somebody, maybe God's restored your marriage. Somebody on this side, God's restored your marriage, and you're married, you're in marital bliss, right? But over here, somebody's in a marital mess. But you keep your testimony to yourself. And if you release that testimony, this person in the mess, come on, can experience the same thing you're experiencing. And listen, we have to cultivate this in our culture. We have to begin to testify of the good works and the good things that God has done. Because listen, when I hear about your breakthrough, come on, how many know I can walk in that same breakthrough? It's just that someone just came to me last week and they said, Pastor Dean, since January, we've paid off $7,000 worth of debt. Right? Exciting, right? But I'm the only one who knows about it. Could you imagine if we took that, and we took that testimony, and we put it up out on the platform, and this is how I did it. Come on. Well, how did you get out of debt? Well, there was some financial provision out of nowhere. We actually got a budget. Come on, and you begin to learn from somebody else's victory. And we've got to cultivate this. Listen, some of you have so many trophies in your display case, but they're all at home, hidden from everybody. We've got a whole box of trophies of Mariah's and Josiah's from growing up. You know where they're at? They're in a box in the garage. Nobody knows about them. But if you want me to brag about my kids, come on, I'll get that thing out. I'll start showing you, oh yeah, when he was in fifth grade, this is what he did. When she was in third grade, this is what she did, right? See, God wants to put us, he doesn't want to put us on the mantle. Come on, he wants to give you a mandate for your life to share the victories that he's doing in you. You see, what God does with you, he can also do through you. Can you just lift your hands for just a moment and just say, God, what you've done with me, will you do through me? Will you do through me, God? Holy Spirit, I just pray, God, that you would do the miraculous during these next 35 days that are left in this 40-day fast. And God, I ask you, God, for testimonies and triumphs and victories to be known. We thank you, God. Leads me to my fifth secret. Sometimes we have to get in a place of faith. Sometimes to get in a place of faith, you have to get some people out of the room. I'm not talking about the person sitting next to you, all right? But sometimes to get in a place, go ahead. Sometimes to get in a place of faith, you have to get some people out of the room. Now, when Peter learned this, Jesus brought three guys with him, Peter, James, and John. Peter arrives on the scene. It's tense. It's overwhelming. People are crying. They're mourning the loss of a good, good friend. And verse 40 says, Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. How many know sometimes you got to get people out so you can get in faith? It's in your notes there, but humility and dependency upon God releases faith for the impossibility. Humility and dependency upon God releases faith for the impossibility. Peter puts the people out of the room. Listen, as soon as he puts them out of the room and closes the door, right? He falls to his knees. Come on. And he asks God, God, I need a miracle. God, what you did, and he didn't say it this way, but God, what you did in Luke 8, I believe you could do right now here in Joppa. Lord, I thank you, God, that I experienced your miracle working power when you raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. And God, it's been a long journey. God, I'm tired, but Lord, I humble myself before you. And Lord, I put my trust in you to heal this woman again. Give her her life back, God. Give her her life back. And the Bible says he wasn't even facing her. Then he looked to her, extended his hand, and lifted her up. Verse 31, he says, then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. How many know the healing that God wants to do in your life, the healing that God wants to do in your family, the healing that God wants to do in your home, the restoration that God wants to do? Come on, he wants to redeem the time. Maybe you start a business that never got off the ground. Listen, maybe you had hopes of starting a ministry that crashed and burned. Listen, he wants to restore lost time to you today. He's a God who redeems our time. He doesn't waste time. He can redeem the time. It says, and it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. See, your life is a testimony, real life. Your life is meant to be a testimony. Why? So people can see that the God in you, come on, he's alive in you. He's working in you. He's moving in you. Come on, he's not dead. Come on. No, he's actually doing something for you. He's answering your prayer. He's providing for you. He's healing you. He's giving you your peace back. Come on, he's doing it now. It's not something you have to beg for. No. Right now, the Holy Spirit, everything you need, you and I need, everything you and I need is right here available to us.